Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. The fast track or the slow road? An interesting split among state Republicans over the state health insurance exchange. Governor Snyder says, let's get it in place sooner than later and avoid having the federal government setting up our system. House Republicans say, what's the rush? Let's see if the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is deemed constitutional first. The group that's spearheading the case that is pending a Supreme Court ruling is the National Federation of Independent Business, and State Director Charlie Owens joins me now. Welcome to the program, Charlie.
Glad to be here.
Now, the constitutional issue of mandating that individuals purchase health insurance, isn't that separate from the issue of states creating health insurance exchanges?
Not necessarily, because if we're successful in our lawsuit and the Supreme Court finds that the mandate is unconstitutional, and that the law is not severable, the entire federal health care law will be unconstitutional, in which case the requirements that the state set up a health care exchange or that the federal do so if they do not, will be null and void.
So in terms of setting up a state health care exchange, won't that take time? And wouldn't it be better to at least begin that process so it is in place when it has to be, rather than waiting and then potentially not even being able to get it done in time?
Well, first of all, based on the pace that's been set by Health and Human Services on the implementation of the federal law, there's no hurry. There are a lot of questions that they have not answered. They finally came out with some kind of an outline for their essential benefits that are going to be required through the exchange, and they frankly just kicked that ball back to the states. That's probably going to be discussed and debated for a year. So, you know, they throw this timeline out there like it's a do or die, but at the same time, they themselves have not been moving very quickly on this. And to be fair, that's because it's a very complicated law. Now, I know that there's money attached to certain dates, and I think that is a concern of a lot of the folks that are pushing for the health care exchange. But if you take federal money, that comes with strings attached. And if we begin implementing these exchanges, I think that does undermine the overall efforts of our case, and frankly, the case by the Attorney General in the state of Michigan and the 26 other states.
Why is the NFIB generally against this kind of a new law? I mean, aren't the health care costs right now for business owners astronomical and overwhelming?
Yes, they are, and this law has made them worse. It has exacerbated the situation. If you log on to the Kaiser Foundation, you'll find that health care costs have increased between 9 to 15%, and a lot of experts have attributed it directly to this law. The problem is that what this law promises is not what it delivers. And our mission at NFIB is basically to promote and protect the right of our members to own, operate, and grow their business. So when the government goes too far, when it tramples on the rights of our members as they are with this particular act, then we're going to respond, and that's why we decided to respond with this lawsuit.
So if businesses are unhappy with the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, what kind of changes do they want to see when it comes to improving health care here in America?
For almost two decades, we have brought ideas and proposals forth in Congress to various administrations on ways that we feel we can make health care more affordable, make it more accessible. And we also did so with this administration, but it became apparent early on that they kind of had their mind already made up and knew what they wanted to do, and they didn't really respond to our suggestions. I can promise you that if our lawsuit is successful and this law is declared unconstitutional, we will immediately begin working for what we believe is real health care reform along the lines of those proposals that we've laid out in the past.
Now, I had Don Hazard, he's the director of the Michigan Consumers for Healthcare Coalition, on the program last week. Now, he pointed out that there have been other instances of healthcare exchanges that have been quite successful. Let me play back his comments and get your response.
back in 2006, when Massachusetts created the first healthcare exchange in which this national law is modeled, they did it because it was the right thing to do. They saw that costs were escalating and getting out of control. They realized consumers needed and wanted to be able to compare apples to apples when shopping for healthcare plans. So they did it. It just makes sense for consumers. Even if the federal government wasn't forcing us to do it, lawmakers should want to do it anyhow because it's good for consumers.
What about that? Is Massachusetts an example of a successful health insurance exchange?
No, I don't think so. Massachusetts had the highest rates for insurance among the states before they did the exchange. And a lot of people and advocates point to that exchange and say, well, look, if you look at the overall rate of increase in the exchange, wow, it's a lot less than it is everywhere else. Therefore, it must be successful. Well, what they neglect in that analysis is that they were so very high to begin with. I think that was pointed out during testimony by Representative Shirky in the House Health Policy Committee, and the fact that some of the data that the advocates are putting forth is rather selective. They pick periods of time where the data tends to fit the result that they're promoting. But when you look at the overall time span of the movement of health insurance rates in that state, those trends do not bear out that insurance is more affordable or cheaper for business or individuals in that state.
I'm talking to Charlie Owens. He's the state director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Another thing that Mr. Hazert talked about was the court issues dealing with both the mandate of health insurance and the other aspect of healthcare exchanges. Let me have you listen back to that and get your response.
For the four appeals courts that have looked at this case, all four have said it's okay for the federal government to require states to create these health care exchanges. And the Supreme Court has not indicated they're interested in looking at that part of the law. So there's no reason for the state legislature to be delaying for the Supreme Court to act when the Supreme Court is not interested in looking at that part of the law. There's no precedent from the appeals courts that there's some issue with creating these healthcare exchanges, and healthcare exchanges just make good sense for consumers.
Well, what about the potential then of having the mandate get knocked down, but having these healthcare exchanges still in place? Could we really see that occurring, and would that be a bad thing for consumers?
Well, first of all, if healthcare exchanges were such a great tool to lower the cost of health insurance, I can promise you somebody would have put them in place without waiting for the government to mandate it. The fact of the matter is that if you look at where most of these exchanges operate, they haven't really had that much of an impact on the market. The idea of putting all this information in a place that's convenient for consumers to shop and compare, there isn't anything that prevents a consumer from doing that now, albeit it may be a little more of a hassle because they have to go to disparate websites and they have to get the data. But let's just take a small business, for example. Do you think when a small business needs health insurance, they get online and start looking all over the place and comparing prices and comparing policies? Now, some might do that, and I would contend that if for those that want to do that and those who want to put that effort forth, that information is already out there. But what most businesses do, and frankly, I think a lot of individuals, they go to their insurance agent, and they say, here, I need health insurance on 15 employees, find me the best deal. And the insurance agent is going to do the work. Now, if he believes that for the purpose of competition, you know, he may not want one insurance agent to do that, he can go get another one. And they'll compete with each other. So this is a solution in search of a problem. And as far as this discussion of, well, the courts, they're not saying there's anything wrong with the healthcare exchanges. Well, of course they're not, because they're dealing with the overall law itself and whether it's constitutional. There's no need for them to devolve into a lot of these nitpicky little requirements in this law if the whole law is unconstitutional. That's pretty much the end of all of it.
Finally, when it comes to health insurance and the way it is tied into our jobs, does the NFIB and business owners in general, do they support that structure? Should we separate our health insurance from our employment?
I think that that's one of the unique things about health insurance in our country compared to what some other countries have gone through, is that we have an employer-based system. And I do think that there is some merit to moving away from that model and having individuals responsible for their own health insurance. It gets around a lot of the problems. The typical way that the average person who's in the job market loses their health insurance is they lose their job. And so if you were to disconnect those two, I do think that that would be that would solve a lot of those problems. I think, and I'm being careful here because I don't have these statistics in front of me, but if you look at the population of the uninsured, you will find that a great percentage of the people that are uninsured are only uninsured for 1 year or less. In other words, it's a temporary problem, and it's most likely caused because they've either lost a job or they're changing a job, and there's gaps. So I do think there's something to looking at that particular approach. And when we get past this very unworkable law that we have in front of us, and hopefully if we prevail in the lawsuit, we can wipe the slate clean and we can start over. And that's one of the things we can look at is changing that model of employer-provided health insurance.
Charlie Owens, State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Charlie, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure, Mike.
And I'll be right back with more. But first, send me some feedback. Let me know what you think of these interviews. Our email address here is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to 1320 WILS.